You are listening to the Backstage Pass podcast, hosted by Hannah Trigwell and brought to you by Tommen. Marvin Streuter, hello.
Hello. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm very fine. Weather's good. Couldn't be better.
And what have you been up to today so far?
Cutting teasers for music videos. That has been my day so far. I've been starting with that late at night yesterday, and then I was cutting like until 2:30 in the morning, and then I started again at 7 in the morning, and this is what I've been doing so far until now, which is 4:30.
Wow.
So yeah, a lot of teasers to come.
Wow. Yeah, were you working late because you had like a deadline for that?
The music videos that the teasers are for are going to be released tomorrow, so one of them is including a lot of other artists, so the management of the main artist has to send them out to all the other artists to get confirmation. So those had to be finished like at 12 today, midday, so they have enough time to approve it. The other ones just during the day, so they can post tomorrow when the video comes out.
Wow, that's a lot of people to keep happy.
Yeah, it is. A lot of changes to be made.
Yeah, do you get a lot of changes from artists about like specific shots?
Yeah, it really depends on the artist. There are some artists that have no changes at all with any project that we're working on, and there are artists that want to change like anything or everything, and want to take a look at every single shot that was taken to really know if it's the best shots in there. So there are really trustful clients and clients that doesn't trust at all. And what's interesting about this is that the most trustful artists are the most successful a lot of times. So the most successful artists are the ones that just approve everything right away a lot of times.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's like just an efficiency?
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they're so efficient, I guess.
I think, that has to be an efficiency thing because, you know, they have to approve and work on so many things every day. And when they take too long with approving stuff or changing things over and over, they can't keep their deadlines, and they're just not getting stuff out. And I know a lot of artists who really struggle to get their shit together.
Yeah.
And if you can't deal with that, it's kind of hard to keep going. You know, so I think it has a lot to do with efficiency. Yeah, definitely.
Efficiency is kind of something that I think has to go hand in hand with like a modern day artist. But sometimes, I mean, I've met a lot of artists that I would, and myself sometimes to a certain extent, I would consider to be in some situations chaotic and, you know, just the nature of like an artistic brain is sometimes just a bit all over the place. Do you find that to be a challenge?
Yeah.
Working with people like that?
Yeah, definitely, because I'm, or part of me is like that as well. So, you know, I really have to concentrate sometimes to not let myself go into that kind of mood exactly what you said, to be all over the place and really chaotic, because that's just me as well. But at least I know that in some situations it just can't be done like that, and then I can like pull myself together and and get things done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also some people just, they know if they hire me, I will, of course, try to do the best job that I can do. And they know, even if they are not focused themselves, they know that when I give something to them, I will have done my best to give them what's best for them, so they can just trust, and without being focused themselves, they can just say, okay, let's have him do his stuff. It's his work. He will do his thing, and then this works out. And the other ones, I think there's not like the big difference between the how they are for themselves, but how they handle it, you know, because if it multiplies, it just gets worse and worse. Mm. And if you just trust the person you're paying to do the job, it's it makes a lot of things easier for you, even if you're chaotic as well. You know, kind of hard to say in English right now, but yeah, I think it's not really about how the person is, but how because every artist is like this, or like 90% of all artists. But it's about how they handle to trust someone to handle their problems or their things.
Obviously, you make music videos, but would you define yourself as a filmmaker over like an editor or a video producer or a?
It's hard to say. Somewhere in between. Maybe yeah. I would consider myself a creative problem solver. Because that's sometimes what it is. Sometimes it's also because I'm close to the artist. Sometimes I just need to be the connection between the label and the artist, or the management and the artist, whatever. Sometimes it's about that. Sometimes it's I also do photography, artwork design. I produce the videos, I film them myself, I do the lighting, I do the editing.
What's your favorite part of it?
My favorite part? I don't really have a favorite part, but the best part is the moment when you feel that everything works out well and comes together and becomes a product. And this can happen in any process. This can also happen when you do the treatment and you feel like, oh, those ideas get together well, and this it just works. And those moments are the best ones. Can happen in edit or at the shoot, if you just feel like, oh yeah, I think we really got the shots. This is the shot that we needed for the scene to work out. And
yeah,
but this can happen in any stage of the process. I think
it's quite a similar feeling, it sounds like, anyway, to when, like, as a songwriter, when the ideas for a chorus or a hook come together and you're like, yeah, that's it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think so.
Do you play music as well?
Not really. I'm aware of music and how to produce music.
Oh, cool.
I just don't do it because I don't have any time.
Yeah.
I'm not a musician in terms of playing instruments and singing. I just can't hit the notes. But I think, like, in theory, I could. Yeah. I could be a musician. But yeah, I used to make music just for, as a side project, but not to get anything out, just to have one thing that where I don't have to deliver, because it's just for myself. I don't, you know, as long as I'm not doing it for anybody else and not putting it out, I can just make music for 3 hours, and if it's shit in the end, nobody cares. And that feels good sometimes.
Yeah. It's hard these days with social media, particularly, like, when I'm making a song or whatever at home, if I don't share that idea immediately or on that day, and I don't have anything like that I can show people like immediately. For you, if you can play and then you just think, oh, that's fine, cool, it doesn't matter what, if it's shit, it's fine. Sometimes I feel a pressure to share something, even if I think it is shit, just because then at least I've shared something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I feel that. The problem is, what I have is that I think when you're doing music for yourself and you have the pressure to put it out and to just, I don't know, maybe you want to get some feedback, or you just want to say, hey, I'm alive, I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
The problem that I have is every time I do something, I get paid for it. And, you know, that's a whole nother pressure. Because,
yeah, you know, yeah.
I can put something out, that's shit, but that person won't hire me again. I mean, for sure, maybe your listeners will quit listening at some point if you just put out shit as well. But I think that the...
But I'm hopefully if I put something out that's good after the shit thing, then they forget.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But no, it doesn't work like maybe. That, does it?
But you know, if you pay someone, you want to get good stuff every time you pay for it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I hate absolutely. That pressure sometimes.
Yeah. How did you get into doing videos, making videos as a career?
I don't really know. It just happened somehow. I always wanted to do something like photography or filming. And I just, for Christmas, all I wanted was a small camera or a new microphone or whatever, something that some equipment that can help me do some some YouTube videos. And then I started YouTube when I was 14 or 15, 14.
Yeah.
And I first started doing tutorials where I showed how to work with Photoshop, for example. And then at some point, I thought it would be way more fun to do real videos. And so I had a good friend at school, and we started to shoot whatever we thought was funny. And then at some point, there was a rapper that lived like 30 minutes from where I lived. And he said, hey, you look like you can handle a camera. You can work with a camera. Do you want to shoot a music video for me? And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? I was 16 at this point. And then we met and we shot a music video that was obviously not as good because it was my first one. But it was a lot of fun and we continued to do that thing. And then he finally got a little more famous. He got to know other artists, introduced me to them, and then they asked me to do their music videos as well. And somehow like this, it just got bigger and bigger. And there was no point where I really said, okay, now is the day when I start doing music videos as a job. Just I finished my school, and then my parents wanted me to study, of course, and I did that for a few months until I said, okay, it feels like I can live off my music video thing already. Let's try to focus on this thing more. And then I quit the university, and it worked out somehow, luckily.
What were you studying at the time?
It was something like film. It's not really called film, but it's, I think because it's not a film university, they can't call that to study film, but it's more or less studying film. But they call it design audiovisuelle Medien, so design of audiovisual content. But it's more or less the same thing. But it was kind of new to the university, and they haven't had much experience. So I felt like I wasn't really learning much there. So I was meeting some friends, or I was making some friends there that I'm still shooting with. So it was still good to do that, to meet those people. But I didn't really learn something there. What about you? Did you study music or anything in music songwriting?
No, I studied biology, actually, which every time I say that, I'm like, that's kind of weird, isn't it? But
it is.
Yeah, I studied biology, and it's definitely a bit away from music. But I did it because I didn't want music to become like a chore, like something that I had to do in a specific way. And I did enjoy doing it, but it also, I realized that I didn't want to do it by doing it.
And sometimes you have to do things. Yeah, of course. How could you know before?
There's only so many times that you want to dissect something gross. And I was just like, I just had enough. So I finished my degree, but after that, I went straight into music and just thought, biology isn't for me. But it's funny, isn't it? Some people I mean, most of the people mm-hmm. from my course have gone into things like marketing.
It is. But you know, there are so many things that I would really love to do at some point. I, for example, I would love to do gardening for a living. There's so many things that have nothing to do with making music videos or anything media-wise. I'm just not going to do it as long as this works so well and this is so much fun to do. But I think, of course, you can have different interests in completely different directions. So,
did you, when you went to university and then you kind of went straight into filmmaking, were you kind of learning as you went, or did you have a mentor?
No, I just tried out things until it worked. And I had the luck to have been doing this since I was 16, of course, because in the first 2 years when I still went to school, I just had no pressure to make a living out of it. I was just living with my parents, so I could just try out everything without any risk. So at the point where I was then, I was 19 at this point when I quit studying, I already was at a point where I knew what I had to do to make a music video work. You know, I think there's like the basic shit you can do that always works, and then on top of it you can do experiments and just try out things. Those things definitely come by doing it. You learn it by doing it, I think, because I know so many people that have studied this kind of stuff or learned it from online workshops or anything like this, and when they get to a set, they don't know how to handle a lot of situations. And I think a lot of or a big reason this all works out is to handle situations that can be really stressful. You know, if you get to a set and maybe it begins to rain and the artist is not happy with the makeup, or one dancer is is a little late, or an outfit doesn't work out, you need to solve that problem in order to make the video happen. And as long as you can't solve that problem, anything else that you have learned in you know, how to move the camera or how to do cutting or editing, it will not help you as long as you don't get to shoot proper material in this situation. So I think that it's really important to learn all the stuff in those situations. I mean, you can also learn it before you get to do it, and then learn how those things come together. But for me, it was best to have the real world.
It's hard, isn't it? Because when you kind of teach yourself and there's no... Well, I mean, sometimes there is a blueprint, but if there's no like set plan and you're kind of teaching yourself how to do something... I know for me, when I was teaching myself how to sing, I really did form a lot of bad habits that I had to break out of over a course of years. But was that something that you experienced in filmmaking?
Yeah, I think, of course, because you know, the hard thing for me is always this balance of doing stuff that you're sure will work out and do stuff that make it stand out. And sometimes, you know, if it's a project that you're doing more for the money than for yourself, you find yourself just doing the stuff that you need to do to make it work out and not putting the effort in the stuff that make it stand out. And those are kind of bad habits that can develop where I think I needed to take a step back and say, oh, yeah, that's not why you're doing this for. So I think this was a bad habit that I developed like 2 or 3 years ago, where I recognized, okay, this is what I need to do to make people think, oh yeah, that's cool, I really like it. and that's it. And then I started to do that for a few months, which worked out good, but I haven't been happy with what I've been doing at this time. So I needed to put myself into a more painful process again. Because sometimes, yeah, when it gets too easy, the result is just not as satisfying. I don't know. I don't know if that is what you meant by talking about bad habits, but
yeah, I think so.
For me, that definitely has been a bad habit.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, like the baddest habit that I have is probably that that I cannot divide, or like my personal life and my filmmaking life is more or less the same.
Yeah.
And for me, that's great. And I think it wouldn't work any other way for me. But for my girlfriend or for my family, that's not good at all. And I think it's a really bad habit that I keep on working until late at night, every night, that I get up early in the morning, every morning, and that I do not do anything else than work, because it doesn't feel like work to me, because it's what I would be doing either way. So, but that's a bad habit, yeah, if you ask people around me, you know?
I think a lot of people who really enjoy their job would say the same thing as well. And a lot of creative people, it's hard to, because you would be doing it as a hobby anyway, wouldn't you, if you didn't get paid? But also, it's not necessarily going to be something that your partner or your family is as passionate about. So yeah, it's a balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I can't handle it, to be honest. Because there are so many factors, you know. The one thing is that you just love what you're doing. Second thing is you're always a bit afraid of not giving your best. And, you know, if it all works out so good, you just don't want to have it stop. You know, it's you just want to keep it going. And, you know, as long as everything works so well, you just want to be there, you know? Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah, yeah. I probably will spend like way less time on a video than you do, and way less budget in general on a video. But when I get in like a flow of an edit and I can see what's coming and I'm about to like edit the best part or some part that's about to make the pace of it more exciting, and I can't stop, and it feels like if I do stop, then I'll lose the flow. I would go to sleep and then wake up and then get back to the edit and just think, if I'd have carried on, I would have stayed in that same mental headspace and it would be amazing. Sure. And now it feels harder, like jumping back into doing it. It's so frustrating, isn't it? But then you've got to actually look after your body and try, if you can, to have a social life as well.
Last year, I don't think that I had any day without work. And
in the whole year?
You know, in the whole year, yeah.
Do you not take any weekends off, or?
No. It's just like, for example, when we have our celebration day, my girlfriend and me, we traveled to France last year, but still I was in calls for like 2 hours a day, made treatments and made edits. So for me, like when I work 4 to 5 hours a day, I feel really, really, really lazy. And even if it's like once in a month, and I start to be like, oh, fuck, I didn't do anything today. Even if it was like 4, 5, 6 hours, I just feel so bad because I don't know. And then again, I think like, oh, it would be so great to have like at least a day off at some point. And then when I have like a few hours off, I'm like, fuck, I need to do something again. It's hard.
I feel very like I can relate to you in this, because I never feel satisfied either. Like if I put a song out and a video out, then it's done. Like it's over. It's done. If it's out, it's over to me. And I'm like, then what's the next thing? And it's like,
yeah,
it's probably not healthy, but I just can't stop. I think it's good to have breaks as well. I mean, I don't know. Do you have breaks when you're editing so that you can get like a take your head somewhere else and then come back to it sometimes?
Mostly, or most of my breaks are long drives because I need to go to Berlin often or wherever I have to shoot, and the drive is the time where I turn off my head for a few hours and just be for myself and enjoy the quietness. I don't listen to any music when I'm in the car. I just enjoy driving somewhere and not doing anything else. This is my time off. Yeah.
It sounds like a meditation almost.
Yeah, definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I remember when I had the first music video where the song was successful on the charts, was about a bit over four years ago. A few months later, someone says, "Hey, yeah, that video you made, the song, I heard it on the radio all the time." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that's cool. I don't really remember that song." And it's a bit sad because it all felt so special a few years ago. And now it's, yeah, you just want to move on too quickly sometimes.
Can you take a little bit of time to enjoy the success moment?
Yeah, it's so nice to do that. But with the first successful projects, it's something special, of course. But then you meet people who had like 20 number one hits and you recognize, okay, it's not really that special. You know, successful music is, there's always 10 songs in the top 10, you know. it's not that special.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, yeah, true.
It just felt special in the beginning, yeah.
Oh, no. Now I feel like when I get a top 10, I'm just going to hear your voice in the back of my head, like, there's 10 top 10s in the top 10.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But yeah, it's true. When you were first making music videos, what kind of kit did you have?
You mean production-wise?
Yeah.
I was shooting on my Canon 7D, and I had two softboxes, and this was what I was working with. Sometimes I rented a small crane. This was what I worked with. I had an iMac from 2009, and this was my whole setup back then.
And what kind of setup have you got now?
Now I got my Red camera and DJI Ronin gimbal, and I use Arri Sky panels for lighting, and Astera Titan tubes, and I still use, a lot of times I still use my old cheap lenses.
Oh, really?
Because they are just so handy. Yeah, because I've been shooting with anamorphics for a few times, and it's just really expensive to rent them. Often they're just really heavy. And in the end, a lot of people don't even like the look anymore. So makes sense to stay with my old. You know, it's an efficiency thing again, but some videos are shot with one lens, or a lot of videos actually are shot with one single lens, or maybe like two. But I just switch between two lenses during a whole video shoot, because you know, when you find, or when you have found a lens that works good in like 80% of all situations for you, why should you change it?
Yeah, true.
I know it doesn't sound professional, but you know, if I'm working on a gimbal, I just would have to recalibrate the gimbal all the time.
Yeah.
And for what? You know, because it's just if you're storytelling, that's another thing. But you know, performances in music videos can be made with that one or two lenses that I'm using most.
What's that one special lens for you?
My favorite special lens is the Sigma Art 18 to 35 millimeters, which has an aperture of 1.8. So it's pretty pretty good at dark situations. The amount of zoom you can get is just what you need for most shots, because 18 millimeters is pretty wide angled, and 35 is, you know, you can get every shot up to like this framing with a 35 millimeter lens, and still looks good. And then for everything that needs to be closer, I'm using a Canon 24 to 105 millimeter lens, which can get me the close-ups. And this is what I'm using most of the time. And then sometimes when I need to go wider, I'm using the Sigma Art 14 millimeter lens, which is also, I think, 1.8 aperture. So they're all pretty light, and this is what makes them so usable everyday shooting.
For syncing up footage with the actual like music WAV audio file, do you use like an onboard microphone for your camera?
The Red actually has a really bad microphone built into it, which I can use for that, but over the time, because Reds didn't always have the internal microphone, and so I learned to read lips pretty good, and I basically can just see 5 seconds of the clip, and I know exactly where it belongs because I can read the lips of the artist. And so often I don't even listen to the audio and just sync the audio the video by syncing the lip movement.
It always frustrated me. Like, I used to watch the music video channels, you know, like MTV, and there was, in the UK, there was Hits and something, I think it was like TMF, I can't think what it was called. But sometimes you would see music videos that were just not in sync.
You know, one funny story is that sometimes I forget to bring my Bluetooth box or speakers, my Bluetooth speakers to the shoots.
Yeah.
And sometimes we play the audio from an iPhone and like put it into this thing.
A hood?
The hood of the
really?
Artist. Yeah, we had like for Nico Santos, Play With Fire, this was like a 30,000 euro production. But we didn't have a Bluetooth speaker, so we just played back the audio from his phone in his hood. Yeah.
Wow.
And it worked.
Yeah, you'd never have guessed.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
As long as no one from the label is around, it's all good. Because you don't want to seem that unprofessional.
Have you ever had anything really crazy go wrong?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, a lot of things. One time I just totally misplanned the budget, and I also trusted people and their what they said that it would cost to build a set. And they promised me to build a set for, I think, 3,500 euros. And then in the end, it was like 15,000 euros. And
50
and it all got way too expensive.
3,500 euros to 50,000 euros. How does that even happen?
Transportation. Then it all had to be built up and like torn down in the end, and everything got way too expensive. I don't know, because they do this like all the time, and I don't know how they could tell me that it would be so. Maybe they just wanted the job, and they said, "Yeah, it's no problem. We'll do this for 3,500." And then it just got out of hand, and
And was the label just cool to pay for that?
We split the costs, label and me. We split the costs. Yeah,
right. Do you have management for stuff like this? You know, someone who can like manage and be the bad guy, or do you have to be the bad guy?
I have a producer working for me, like an employee that is producing since half a year now. I originally wanted her to be more like an assistant, but then we found out that it works better if she's producing. So that means she's organizing stuff, talks to people, finds locations, you know, deals prices with them. And I have Stephanie's her name, and she does that or most of the stuff for me now. But in the end, she's not really managing. She's really good with people. So she can, you know, if you want to find dancers for like in half an hour, she'll get you dancers in 30 minutes. And I don't know how she does it, but she just has some kind of magic.
Wow,
I don't know.
That's,
yeah,
someone you need on your team.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really happy to have her on the team. So that's really cool.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Hi, thank you. And you?
Yeah, I'm good. We were just talking about you.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, we were talking about producing music videos. Ah. And if I have some kind of management, and then I said that you're not a management, but you're still keeping trouble from me by finding locations, people, dancers, actors, whatever.
That's
and she is the girlfriend of an artist that I used to work with, started working for me, and that was it. Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice that it was like organic like that.
Yeah. Because, you know, I've been working with other producers before that I booked for a project, and then for the next project, and then I booked a different producer for the next project. And it's way better to have someone that's always around you, so you can always be in touch and have the same creative vision without always, you know, needing to check if someone is available, and then first brief them.
Yeah,
it's cool that she's around all the time. If you're a person that can easily trust managements with handing your career over to them, kind
am of. I think I am. I think it's good to have like a really open, honest conversation with management so that you both know what each other want from the situation and what you think is the right thing to do. I think like I'm definitely open to critique, and because I want to be better in like every aspect. If there's an area to be improved, I'm like definitely open to improving that. And I think that when you're working with someone who's got more experience than you in a certain area, it would be silly to not listen to the advice. Like you can choose then whether to take it or not. I mean, but I think always listening is really important, because otherwise then you know you're working with someone who's got experience. If you're not listening to what they've got to say, then what's the point, really? but I don't have a manager right now, so right now it's just me in my own head going, this is what I think you should do, this is why I think you should do it. And I'm close to my label manager, who's at my distributor, and getting her feedback on stuff is really good for me. A lot of my friends don't work in this industry and don't work in creative industries, actually. And so I don't necessarily feel like I can talk to them about stuff, because some of my creative decisions, they'd be like, why did you do that? Why didn't you just do this? And sometimes it's yeah, hard to explain.
Yeah, I see.
The reasons to someone who's not creative, if that makes sense. I'm sure there's things in their jobs as well where they're like, you wouldn't understand this, and I wouldn't. so that's why they probably don't come to me about problems in their jobs either. But for other like non-work stuff, we can talk. But for my musician friends, I find it like, I love getting feedback from people who aren't working in music or who aren't working in video, because that's really the majority of people who are going to be consuming whatever I make. And I think it's good to get feedback in that way. But for like technical ways to improve music or video, you've got to get advice from people who like make that stuff, right? Do you share a lot of your work with, you know, like family and friends before anybody else sees it?
No, never. And also when it comes out, I can watch it for a few months because I always am afraid that I'll find something that I don't like when it's out and then I can't change it. So
the editing would never stop, would it?
Yeah. So when someone puts on a video that came out shortly before, I always leave the room and I don't want to see it and I don't want to get feedback because it's out either way. Yeah. So, yeah. But are you doing your own music videos because, like, budget-wise, or also because you don't want to hand it over to someone else because you already got the vision of how you want it to look, or just because it's also fun to do?
It's a mixture between it's fun to do. I really like doing it. But also budget-wise, because I want to be able to put a single out every, like, 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so if I was spending a lot of money on a music video per single, that would add up to a crazy amount in the year. So it's kind of like a budget thing, and it's kind of I really enjoy doing it. I have worked with video producers before on videos, where most video producers that I have worked with before have had great ideas, and I tend to just go with it, or like have ideas of my own and stuff. But like I've worked with some really talented people that I'm like, yeah, wow, this is amazing, let's go for it, let's do it. And usually video producers have better equipment than me as well, so the whole thing tends to look a little bit better than what I could produce myself, but it also costs a little bit more. So
makes perfectly sense. Less expenses and more fun to do it yourself.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking. Unfortunately, we are out of time. But before we say goodbye, I wanted to ask you, what is your track of the week?
My track of the week is actually Kill Jay-Z from his album 444, which is 3 years old approximately now. Because I just found it this week. Again, I used to listen to the album when it came out, and I was on the concert in Las Vegas, and it was the time we talked about before, when stuff still was a bit more special than now. So I just refound this whole album, and when I heard it, I was getting in the mood of when it first came out, and I think it's a great album, and it's cool that it's really self-reflecting, and I think it's one of the best Jay-Z albums in the last 15 years, probably, in my opinion.
Nice. And what is the best lesson that you've learned so far in your career?
The most important thing is to have fun when you're doing what you do, because it always gets better and you always find better solutions, and it's more fun for everybody to work with you, and it just it doesn't work out as good when you're not having fun while you're working. And to have this as the highest priority that I, and of course everyone else on the set, is having fun doing the shoot. And that this is like the thing that stands above everything else. And then there's the rest to come. But I think this is the most important thing that I've learned, that it should always be the number one priority to have everybody in a good mood. Yeah, I think this is the biggest lesson.
I hope I get to make a music video with you one day. Because I feel like
that'd be great.
It would be really fun.
I think so, yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's been so great to speak to you. I hope you have a great day, and I'll see you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Be sure to hit subscribe and leave a comment to let us know what you think. And I will see you next time on Backstage Pass.